through chapter 5, the cause of all causes, chapter 12.
И каждый раз Шишмад Бхагаватам 32, 25, Кришна Чирпичи,
текст 12.
И также прочитаем текст 12 всего.
Please repeat. Tasmai namo bhagavate.
Tasmai namo bhagavate.
Tasmai namo bhagavate.
Tasmai namo bhagavate.
Vasudevaya dhimahi.
Vasudevaya dhimahi.
Vasudevaya dhimahi.
Vasudevaya dhimahi.
Yanmayaya durjayaya.
Yanmayaya durjayaya.
Yanmayaya durjayaya.
Yanmayaya durjayaya.
Mambadandi jagadguru.
Mambadandi jagadguru.
Mambadandi jagadguru.
Mambadandi jagadguru.
Others.
Tasmai namo bhagavate.
Tasmai namo bhagavate.
Vasudevaya dhimahi.
Vasudevaya dhimahi.
Yanmayaya durjayaya.
Yanmayaya durjayaya. Tasmai namo bhagavate.
Vasudevaya dhimahi.
Yanmayaya durjayaya. Mamadanti jagadguru.
Tasmai namo bhagavate.
Tasmai namo bhagavate.
Vasudevaya dhimahi.
Vasudevaya dhimahi.
Yanmayaya durjayaya.
Yanmayaya durjayaya.
Mambadanti jagadguru.
Mambadanti jagadguru.
Mataji.
Tasmai
namo bhagavate. Vasudevaya dhimahi. Yanmayaya durjayaya. Объяснить нам, почему такие люди
и наслаждаются, когда их называют Богом, и по какой причине эти глупые почитатели называют их правом.
I'll chant the slow. Vilajamanaya yasya statum iksha pate muya vimohita vikatante mamaha mitti dhurdiyaha.
Перевод, текст 13. Стыдят себя иллюзорные энергии Господа, не претендуют на превосходство. Но те, кто введен ей в заблуждение, постоянно болтают вздор, поглощенный мыслями. Это я, это мое. Неразимая иллюзорная энергия, третья энергия личности Бога, олицетворяющая неведение, способна ввести в заблуждение все живые существа в творении. Но она не настолько сильна, чтобы представить себя Верховным Господом. Неведение всегда прячется за спиной личности Бога. Там оно достаточно могущественно, чтобы вводить живые существа в заблуждение. И главная отличительная черта тех, кто пребывает в заблуждении, это то, что они болтают вздор. Ведические писания не поощряют бессмысленную болтовню. И самое большое нелепость заявляет «это я, это мое». Вся жизнь атеистического общества основана на ложных представлениях, и люди этого общества, не имеющие ни малейшего понятия о Боге, либо поклоняются уже богам, или объявляют Бога себя, вводя в заблуждение тех, кто и без того сбит с толку иллюзорной энергии. Однако на тех, кто предстал перед лицом Господа и предался ему, действия иллюзорной энергии не распространяются. Поэтому они свободны от ложных представлений «это я, это мое», не признают уже Богу и не пытаются доставить себя на один уровень с Верховным Господом. Этот стих очень точно описывает положение человека, введенного в заблуждение иллюзорной энергии.
So this section of the Bhagavatam is speaking about how some people make the mistake of identifying an ordinary person as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, text 12, he says that the Supreme Lord is identified as Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchitananda Vigraha. He is the Supreme Controller, and his body is Satchitananda. It's full of eternity, knowledge, and happiness. The foolish people, they worship some ordinary person who has toothaches and bad digestion and smelly feet as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When they see something greater than themselves, they think, oh, this must be God. During World War II, the Americans, when they were fighting against Japan, they occupied a small island in the Pacific. And on that island, there were some tribal people who had never before met anyone in modern civilization. So the Americans, they came and landed with their airplanes, and they had some base there for some time. And then after the war was over, they left. And some years later, some people went to that island again. And they found that the people there in that island, they had developed a religion.
И они увидели, что люди, живущие на этом острове, они развили такую своеобразную форму религии.
It was a religion about these white-skinned gods who came down from the air in great machines. And they had different altars with sacred objects they were worshipping. Like a can of Coca-Cola. And people called it the Coca-Cola cult. So one of the purposes of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to give us scientific information about who the personality of Godhead is. And the Bhagavatam also describes that there are many different secondary controllers in this universe that we can't directly see generally.
Бхагаватам также описывает, что в этой вселенной есть множество второстепенных, то есть ниже стоящих управляющих существ, и мы не можем видеть их обычно.
Such as Lord Brahma, who we're reading about in these verses here.
Таких вот как Господь Брама, которые описывались в предыдущих стихах.
If one studies in the history of the world, there's records all over the world of personalities who came and visited this planet, and the local people called them gods. And the Bhagavatam describes that sometimes Lord Brahma and other powerful controllers may come to this world. Sometimes people, some scientists, other people, when they hear about these descriptions, they think that they were some aliens from another planet who came and visited here. And we have a very difficult time of understanding these kind of personalities. The problem is that we're using the wrong medium to try to understand them. It's described that there are three different methods of perception which are available to the living entities. This is a very scientific description. These are known, these three different levels of perception are described in Sanskrit. Stula Deha Gatha, Gyanendriya Deha, and Sukshma Deha, or perception through the gross material organs of knowledge. Trying to understand things through our eyes and our ears. But there's some problems with doing that. We often make mistakes. For example, if you're on a train that's starting to move and you look out of the train and you see a fence, it looks like the fence is moving, but you think you're sitting still. Moreover, there are many things which we can't see and things we can't hear. We can't see radio waves. And there's certain sounds which we also can't hear. You can take a special kind of whistle and blow it, and a person won't hear anything. But all the dogs will start howling because it troubles their ears. So higher than that is when someone uses their mind, their intelligence, to try to understand something. The scientists like Albert Einstein, they've been able to ascertain that there are certain elements that combine together in ways that we can't see. And through mathematics and physics, you can understand many things about the universe that you can't directly see. But more subtle than that ability known as Gyanendriya Deha is what's known as Sukshma Deha. The Sukshma Deha is that ability of the spirit soul to perceive. Most people in this world, we're just simply operating on the stula deha gata, the platform of the material senses. And our conception of reality is based upon what we perceive. And we think, oh, this is a man, and this is a woman. This is someone from Ukraine, this is someone from Russia, this is someone from America. And Srila Prabhupada speaks about this in this verse in purport. This is known as aham mama bhava, thinking this is me, this body. These three different types of perception are also the basis of our relationships in this world. Perception. Most people just see each other's skin and face. But relationships that are just based upon that skin are very, very shallow. One 16th of an inch thick, to be exact. That's the thickness of the skin. And a boy, he falls in love with a girl. She's just so wonderful. But what is it that he loves about her? How deep is their relationship? Most of the time, it's only as deep as the skin. How many boys will think she's still beautiful if you take her skin off? Does she look like some kind of monster then? And be frightened. But it's the same girl. You ask a boy, what do you like about her? He'll say, it's the way the light comes to her beautiful hair.
Это то, как свет отражает и играет и прекрасно расположен от молодца.
So then you can buy a wig and you can keep your sweetheart with you always.
Можно купить похожие парики и сделать так, чтобы его всегда снимало.
You can hang that wig in the window so the light will come through it.
Повесить его на окно и солнечный свет будет играть своими лучами.
No. It's the feel of her skin, so soft and nice.
Нет, но это еще ощущение мягкости кожи, она такая прекрасная и нежная.
Okay, well, next time during the summer when she gets a sunburn, and then all of her skin peels off, then you collect all that skin and put it in a bag.
В следующий раз, когда вы отправитесь на море вместе, она сгорит на солнце и будет обрезать кожу.
And you can have your sweetheart with you always. Isn't it romantic? So relationships which are just based on that skin or that hair, they're not very deep and they're not very satisfying. Who wants to be treated like there's some hair and some skin? And relationships which are simply based upon this physical body like this, they're exploitive. And they often become violent. So if you go to a marriage council, they'll say, no, you should have some similar interests. You should like the same kind of movies, the same kind of music. Or you should like to play chess together. But these type of relationships are also not satisfying for us. Because those movies that we watch and the music that we listen to and the chess game we play, these aren't really me. When I was a young boy, I was one of the top chess players in our school. But I haven't played chess now in maybe 30 years. So our interests change. And if we have a relationship that's based on liking certain kind of music and liking certain kind of movies, it's also very shallow. It's not satisfying to the heart. And it's not going to last. This Krishna consciousness movement is all about the science of relationships. This is the science of love. In English, there's maybe 3 or 4 different words that you can express love in. How many words do you have in Russian language? Okay. So in Sanskrit you may say you may say priti, you may say sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, ruda mahabhav, adi ruda mahabhav, modanakna bhav, madanakna bhav. There's so many different words for love. And they all express different subtle nuances. And none of them are based on the body. None of them are based on the mind. The very most rudimentary beginning is called sukshma deha. When someone begins to perceive in a spiritual way, for someone who has a relationship like that, that relationship is unlimitedly deep. That kind of friendship, that kind of loving relationship won't change if the body changes. I heard about one boy in India who was married to a girl, a very beautiful girl. And some angry person one day came and threw acid on her face. And so that girl, all of her hair was lost and there was terrible scars all over her face. And that boy said, "I'm very sorry, but I can't be married to you anymore. How can I love you like this?" It's a very shallow kind of relationship. But if someone has a spiritual relationship, a spiritual friendship, it's different. They don't, their relationship won't change if their beloved's face becomes burned off with acid. That relationship won't change even if the other person develops some new interest. I don't like chess anymore. And that kind of relationship is not exploitive. That kind of relationship is fully satisfying to the soul. These are the relationships that exist on the spiritual platform. And therefore, since the beginning of time, great saints and sages, they've pursued this kind of love. So in this 13th verse, it describes vimohita vikatante mamaham iti durdiyaha. Some people, they're talking nonsense. They're thinking, this is me, this is mine. The living entity in this world doesn't understand who we are. Our life is just a history of labels. Just like they put some sticker in the supermarket, a label to identify a particular object. So in this world we put labels on ourselves and everyone around us. The parents, they put a sticker on a baby, my baby. And the baby also has a label. I'm hungry. That's me. And later on, the baby has some identification also based on those labels.
Mm-hmm.
These are my parents. They gave birth to me. They're part of my identification. And then after a little while, another label comes. Oh, I am a girl. Then another label. I am a student in school. When she gets a little older, maybe 12 or 13. Then a new label comes. I am a goddess. And all the boys stand in queue to worship me. And then later on another label comes. I am a wife. Then another label. I am a mother. This is my baby. And this is part of me. This is my identification of myself. I am the mother of this little child. Therefore, this child belongs to me. But that identification is not really you. If the baby dies, you're still there. But you become disturbed because one of your labels is now gone. Your position of being a mother was based on the existence of that little child. And so when that baby dies and you become in great anxiety because you've lost part of your identity. If our parents die, we feel like part of us is lost. Because we have some identity crisis. Because we've never known who we are. And we've been identifying ourselves our whole life with all these other external labels. Just like people, sometimes they go to the department store and they purchase some clothes. And they purchase an identity off the rack. I think I want to be really cool. I'm going to buy leather pants and a leather jacket. Or a woman will think I'll be very sensuous. I'll buy some silk, very short skirt. By purchasing those clothes, we're trying to purchase an identity. Because we don't know who we are. But all these so-called identities are not really us. In the science of Bhakti Yoga in India, these are known as ahankar. Or false ego, false identification. This false identification, this false ego, has two functions. Ahanta and mamata. Ahanta means the consciousness of this is me. And mamata means this is mine. This is my shirt. And it's part of my identification. But what if you went to some garbage dump and you found a shirt that you'd cast off 20 years ago? Are you going to identify with that shirt? It's false ego. So when these two are destroyed by spiritual knowledge, that is called moksha, liberation. In the Vedic literature is described that the so-called love, the so-called relationships in this world, they just bind one to this world. They just reinforce these false identities that we have. And we never come to understand who I really am. And as Mick Jagger sang, we never get any satisfaction. So when one begins to wonder, Ke Ami, who am I? Why is it that none of these things give me satisfaction? Why is it that all the relationships I have are not ultimately satisfying to my heart? At that time, the living entity begins to inquire, who am I? What is the meaning of this world? When such good fortune arises, that living entity, by the arrangement of the Lord, may come in contact with a devotee. And in association with that devotee, they may hear something about their real identity. Thinking I'm a woman, and another life thinking I'm a man, another life thinking I'm a king, another life thinking I'm a dog. When good fortune finally arises, one meets a devotee, a saintly person. In an association with that devotee, they tell them, you're not this body. You're a spirit soul. Then, with enlightened by that knowledge, the living entity has a different attitude. Enlightened by that knowledge, the living entity no longer identifies himself as a body. They begin to think, actually, I'm a spirit soul, I'm not this physical body, I'm a soul inside of this body. At this point, there's a scientific description. One's ahankara, one's consciousness of himself changes. And their ahanta, their consciousness of himself, changes to thinking, I'm a servant of God. And then their mamata, their possessions, their friends also change. They consider the devotees of the Lord, these are my friends, these are my mamata. And this goes through many different stages. Until one's consciousness comes to the platform of pure love. That's called prema. This begins when one thinks, this is nice, I like this idea, but I'm going to stay, I'm going to still enjoy my material life, but I'll be a devotee, I'll come to the temple sometimes. At this stage, the aspect of ahanta and mamata, I and mine, is very, very thick. But at this stage, the living entity gets a slight trace of smell, ganda, of spirituality. When that trace of spiritual life becomes a little more thick, then one decides, I want to associate more seriously with the devotees. I want to follow what they're saying. At this stage, it's called atyantiki in Sanskrit. The ego is still absorbed in material affairs. Then comes a platform known as anishchita bhajana kriya. Where they start to follow more seriously some spiritual practices. And at that stage, the ego is partially destroyed. That ahanta, that idea of eyes, becomes partially spiritualized. But still one's absorption in material things is still called purna, it's still complete. And your meditation on the Lord is temporary, it's just for one moment, and it's mixed with mundane topics. You're chanting, but you're thinking of your girlfriend or your boyfriend. And maybe for one or two moments a day you might think of Krishna. Then the living entity comes to the platform known as Nishta, where they're fixed. And the ego's involvement with bhajan becomes deeper. Still, on this platform, the influence of the material nature is almost full. And sometimes a little more thoughts of the Lord comes to your mind. But if you keep practicing on that stage, then you come to the platform known as Ruchi, where you have some taste. Our consciousness in this description is like a scale. On one side is the material consciousness, and the other side is the spiritual. Up to the point where we have some taste, ruchi, the material side of the scale is much heavier. But when the platform of ruchi comes, then a little bit more on the spiritual side. The materialistic ego on this platform is still very pervasive. However, our meditation is much longer lasting. And then if one continues practicing at that stage, they come to the next stage. That stage is known in Sanskrit as Asakti. And on that platform of Asakti, the spiritual aspect of Ahamta and Mamata, I and mine, becomes complete. Your concept of yourself and what belongs to you, what you relate to, it becomes completely spiritual. On that platform, the material aspect becomes just partial. And your meditation on the Lord becomes very deep. And if you continue practicing at that stage, you'll go to the next step. That stage is known in Sanskrit as Bhav. On that platform of Bhav, at that time the ego, the identity, becomes fully absorbed in spirit. And a sense of one's relationship with the Lord awakens. There's still some material consciousness. But that material consciousness on the platform of Bhav is compared to an empty shadow. Your material life becomes like a dream. And spiritual life becomes reality. And if one continues to practice on that stage, then they come to the platform in Sanskrit known as Prem, which is actually the beginning of divine love. At that time, one's self-identification, his ahamta and his mamata, his identification of himself and his possessiveness, are completely identified with the spiritual world. And the material aspect is completely gone. One's meditation on the Lord becomes an actual episode. They actually see the Lord. That vision of the Lord actually begins on the previous platform known as Bhav. And when the meditation becomes very deep, sometimes there is what's called in Sanskrit a spurti. And someone sees God for a moment, and then the Lord disappears. But when we come to the platform of prema, and arahanta and mamata become completely identified, ourself and our possessions become completely identified with spirit. On that platform, one directly sees the Lord. And that vision of the Lord remains. It's lasting and it's very, very deep. There's a true story we heard in relationship to this a few years ago when we were visiting some Brahmin friends in Vrindavan. They said that, you know, nearly 100 years ago, there was one sadhu who was giving class every day in the Bhagavatam. His classes were very nice and many people were coming. Many high class people. But there was one person who was coming who was very, very strange. He was a street person. And the devotees would see him sleeping in the gutter. And he wore very dirty old clothes and his skin was covered with dirt. There was a bad smell coming off of him. And sometimes someone would give him some prasadam, something to eat. And he'd take that plate of spiritual food and sit down and start eating on the street. And sometimes some dogs would come and they would start eating from the same plate at the same time. And he allowed them to do that. So all the other people, when they saw him come in, they would move a little away. But he was coming every day to the class. And no one knew anything about him. One day, that sadhu who was giving the class, he went to the ancient temple known as Gopeshwar Mahadev. And when he was going into the Gopeshwar Mahadev, he saw that strange fellow coming out. So he thought, this is my chance. Let me ask him who he is. What is he doing? So he stopped him. He said, you're coming to my class every day. I don't know you. Please tell me, what is your name? And he told him something of Krishnadas. Where are you from? Well, I'm from such and such village, not so far from here. What kind of family do you have? Oh, I come from a Sharma family. It's a very high class Brahmin family. The sadhu became surprised. You come from such a high class family, but you're doing like this?
сад уединился, говорит, ты происходишь из такой высокопоставленной семьи, и ты такой грязный.
He asked him, do you have any education?
Ты где-то учился?
He said, yes, I have a master's degree in science.
Да, у меня докторская степень в одной науке.
And the sadhu said, my God, man, what are you doing? Why are you behaving like this? And then, by Krishna's desire, that strange-looking fellow revealed something about himself that he normally wouldn't speak of. With pure simplicity and humility, he hung his head and said, well, he said, if I don't behave like this, then I can't see Krishna. That speaker who's giving the class every day, he said, do you see Krishna? Да? So that speaker became very curious. How do you see Krishna? Do you see him just once in a while and he disappears? That strange looking fellow said, no, I see him like I see you and I talk with him. He said, but if I don't behave like this, I can't see Krishna. So if we saw such a person, we would think, very nasty. And it doesn't mean that to see Krishna one has to sleep in the gutter and eat off a plate with dogs. Yudhishthira Maharaj is a great devotee of Krishna and he was a very rich, wealthy king. But the Lord appears to different devotees in different ways. But he only appears when their ahanta, their conception of I, becomes completely spiritualized. He only appears to those people whose conception of mamata, this belongs to me, this is my friend, my relative, when that mamata is focused on Krishna and Krishna's devotees. That strange-looking fellow who came from a very aristocratic family and had a very good education. He destroyed his materialistic ahanta, his identification, this is me. He had no more labels. He didn't identify himself as being aristocratic or educated. He's staying in the street eating with dogs. His ahanta became that I belong to Krishna. And his mamata, his sense of possessiveness, was centered on Krishna. Krishna is mine. Whatever he gives me, I don't care.
Krishna мой, и чтобы он не дал мне, я приму.
For such a person, they're not in this material world.
Такой человек не живет в материальном мире.
They'll always see the Lord face to face.
Он всегда видит Господа лицом к лицу.
So if we don't come to these higher platforms, then it's very difficult for us to understand who is the Supreme Absolute Truth and who is not.
Если мы не поднимемся до этой возвышенной платформы, мы не сможем понять, кто является абсолютно истиной, а кто нет.
We just see everything in the world of names.
Мы просто видим вокруг себя мир, состоящий из имен и концептов.
Names and labels.
И имен и этикеток.
So this movement is not meant to start a new religion.
Это движение не предназначено для того, чтобы основать новую религию.
But our movement is Pratyak Savagamam Dharmyam. It's meant to help people to actually come to this platform where they directly see God.
Но это движение предназначено для того, чтобы помочь людям подняться до платформы, где они смогут непосредственно видеть Бога.
And that's the only relationship which will fully satisfy us.
И это единственное отношение, которое полностью удовлетворяет нас.
So we'll stop there.
No,
Krundarashimad Bhagavatam ki
jai,
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Samaveda Bhaktabinda ki
jai,
Vapremanandi hari hari go, Vansha kalpataru vishcha, Kapasandhu devacha, Vitanam bhava, Vaishnavi. It's a little late. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Mataji? We should, all of our relationships should be based around Krishna.
Все наши отношения должны быть построены вокруг Кришны.
You should love your husband.
Вы должны любить своего мужа.
He'll like that.
Ему это понравится.
But you should love him because he's a nice devotee.
Вы должны любить его, потому что он хороший преданный.
And you should love doing Krishna conscious things with him. You should love your children in connection with Krishna. You should love doing Krishna conscious things with them. And when they grow up, if they don't want to be Krishna devotees, you should still love them. Because we should see everyone in connection with Krishna. If that child doesn't want to be a devotee, then you may tell them, anyway, I would like it if you were a devotee, but I still love you. Because we should see that everyone is connected with Krishna. Everyone is Krishna's devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And don't criticize anyone. Maybe your parents, they don't want to be devotees. But you should love them. Because you should see them in connection with Krishna. And you should see they helped you become a devotee. Your mother gave birth to you. She cleaned your stool when you were a baby. She raised you in a certain way. And by her help, now you've become a devotee. You should thank her for that. Even if she's not happy with you being a devotee. You should love her and respect her. Is that okay? Хорошо?
Питання, можна? Пробачте, якщо дівчина, яке кохає, вона не підтримує ніякі міжвольні погляди і зовсім відрізняється від для вона інша. Якщо вона інша, як мені її якось пояснити? Але я її кохаю. Теж мені якось від неї відходити, чи вийти не до порядку, чи що мені робити?
If my girlfriend is very much different and she doesn't accept my religious beliefs, what should I do? Should I stop loving her? I love her, so what am I doing?
You can still love her. She's a spirit soul. You should love her as being a spirit soul, not her body. And if you really love her in a very deep way, then that may change her heart. In the science of love, in the Vedic literatures, there's two general categories for love. In Sanskrit, these are called haitaki priti and ahaitaki priti. Love with a motivation and love without a motivation. Love with a motivation is love which has some designation. Technically, this is called sopadika priti. I love you because you're my girlfriend. I love you because you love me. I love you because you're a beautiful girl. But if somehow she loses that beauty, then that kind of love will also stop. Because it's love with a motivation. We want to develop ahaitaki priti, love that has no motivation. That kind of love, it's a little technical, that kind of love is known as nirupadika priti. It has no designation. I love you if you're beautiful, if you're not beautiful. Because your beauty is in the heart. I love you as a spirit soul. Sometimes we often see in this material world, almost the only thing we hardly ever see is haitaki priti, love with a motivation. Someone has a child and I love you because you're my little girl. And because I love you, I put aside so much money in the bank so you can get an education and you can become a great politician and be very famous. And he loves his little girl and he sends her to school. One day his little girl comes home from school Hey, Dad, I met some people at the campus. And they gave me this book. This book is great. I think I want to become a Hare Krishna. And then that loving father all of a sudden changes. I hate you. You're not my daughter anymore. Get out from here. So what happened to his love? It was love with a motivation. So we have love without a motivation. It's very powerful. When your children grow up and they come to you, I don't want to be a Hare Krishna. I want to be a professional dancer. And then what does the Hare Krishna parent do? Mother Avadatta, what will you do? You tell them then, I hate you, you're not my child anymore? No. I love you still. I don't agree with you, but I love you. That's ahaitaki priti. Love with no motivation. It's nirupadika priti. It has no designation. And it's very, very powerful. If you can love someone like that, it will change their heart. So I don't know if you can do that with your girlfriend or not. So you will have to see. In any case, Krishna, these relationships, they come and they go. Krishna makes some arrangements. But we should want a very deep spiritual relationship. That's what's going to satisfy me. Not just like in India, you know when it's that time of the year. When it's a certain time of the year, you know in India. Because you hear all the dogs barking and fighting. And you go outside and you'll see one female dog who's in heat. And there's 20 male dogs following her. And they're all trying to smile and look very nice. And that poor female dog, she has her tail between her legs and she's moving her bottom on the ground. Because all those dogs are trying to jump on her. So these are the relationships in the material world. And we get tired of relationships between male and female dogs. Then maybe we'll come to Krishna consciousness. Come to Krishna consciousness. Would you have some questions?
Какой стиль игры для нас?
Я думаю, он спросил Америку. Какой смысл этого?
So yesterday with the leader of international of the student personality work in described the Greek literature, but he left out Krishna's pastime. And I think it happened intentionally because he's not ordinary personality. So what is the meaning of this pastime for us? What is the lesson?
You mean to say that everybody hear it in Russian?
Yeah, Russian vocals.
Okay. So this pastime teaches us that we're not going to be satisfied with just religion. Most people, they just want some formal religion. Very few people are interested in spiritual life. Buddha was someone who was interested in genuine spiritual life.
Buddha was кем-то, действительно был по-настоящему заинтересован в духовности.
And he left home, he left everything.
Он оставил дом и все, что у него было позади.
And then later a religion formed around his teachings.
Но позже вокруг его учения возникла религия.
Jesus was someone who wanted spiritual life.
Иисус был тем, кто хотел духовную жизнь.
And the people who were selling things at the temple, he tried to stop that. He was against their mechanized, organized religion. He tried to teach people something about love of God. People made some religion around that. But in every tradition, there are some people who genuinely want God. Not just religion. So this pastime of Vyasadeva is there to help teach us that. It's not enough, it's not going to satisfy us just by having all these scriptures, the Rig Veda, the Sama Veda, the Atharva Veda, the Mana Sanghita. We need to learn the science of the soul, we need to learn the science of love, Bhakti Yoga.
Нам необходимо изучить, познать науку любви, науку от души.
Because all these other religions and things, these are all based on upadis, based on external designations.
Потому что все эти материалистические религии основываются на внешних обозначениях.
They're based on labels.
На этикетках, о которых мы говорим.
And they don't satisfy us.
И они не удовлетворяют нас.
When I was a young boy, we were growing up in America. My family were Christians. And we belonged to the Baptist Church. When I was about 5 years old, my parents decided they didn't want to go to the Baptist Church anymore, they wanted to go to the Methodist Church. There's practically no difference between the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church. But when my parents changed churches, my grandmother started crying, "Now you're going to go to hell."
Но когда они приняли такое решение, моя бабушка стала плакать и говорит, теперь вы отправитесь в ад.
So they're not thinking about your consciousness, your heart.
Они не думают о вашем сознании, о вашем сердце.
They're just thinking about some labels.
Они думают просто про этикетки.
And belonging to a particular group.
И принадлежность к какой-то определенной группе.
So Vyasadeva taught us, this won't satisfy you. You give up all those religions and come to Srimad Bhagavatam. Harisho? Okay. Anything else is there?
Tradition? how to change the pathological focus on ourselves.
By chanting the holy names. And if we do this, Sancheto Dharpana Marjanam. This is a wonderful quality of this process. Whether someone's very spiritually elevated or very neophyte, it'll work for either person. Whether they're from America or from Ukraine, it'll work. Whether they belong to the Orthodox Church or they're a Muslim, it'll work. By chanting the names of Krishna, one's ahanta, their conception of I, will begin to be cleansed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's compared to cleaning a mirror. If you go to a mirror that's very, very dirty, you can't even see yourself. So you start cleaning the mirror. And the first thing is you can see some vague form. The mirror is still dirty, but you can see a little something. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that that vision at that stage is our vision of ourself within Varna and Ashram. But if you stop cleaning the mirror at that point, then you won't see your real self. We have to continue with our chanting, continue with our meditation. And then gradually the mirror will become completely clean. And we can see our real spirit self. You know this. Хорошо? Okay, anything else you say? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai. Premanandi. Now it's the second program,
I think? I don't think so. I don't know. When was to have one class before us, now that there's no.
They told me it's going to be an 11 o'clock class, Arjun.
Would you like to use another quad?